Amen. All right, take your Bibles. Open to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I want to share a message tonight on true friendship. I tell you what, thank God for good friends. Amen. True friendship. I tell you, little young'uns to keep you laughing. When we were first morning there, when we were, Manio this past week, Stephen had come down the early part of the week. And so Jessica said, "Where's Nana and Papa?" And so they said, "Well, Nana's gone walking, Papa's gone running." And she asked that question, "Why?" So in her little mind, she can figure out, you know, you going someplace or something chasing you. Why in the world would you be walking and running early in the morning? But anyway, I got a kick out of it. Sometimes I ask myself the question, what in the world are you doing? But Proverbs chapter 18 tonight, verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that we find in the principles and precepts, Lord, in the commands of Scripture. Father, we come tonight, and God, we thank you for the dearest friend, that friend closer than a brother, the perfect friend we have in the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts tonight about this matter of true friendship, and how it ought to be reflected in the life of God's children, how it ought to be manifest in those who have Christ in them, that the greatest friends in all the world should be God's people. And so, Lord, help us tonight. Instruct us, guide us, and teach us. Father, we'll thank you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. It is certainly the nature of this life to value friendship. Because as you and I go through life, we understand its trials and its troubles, and we certainly always looking for somebody to help share the load. And it's wonderful to have a friend who cares when you and I are burdened down and going through problems or crisis. It's always good to have somebody share the load with you. And many times we have taken comfort in just being able to tell others, knowing that they cared. Even when we knew that they didn't have any power or ability to change anything, just the fact that someone cared helped lift the burden. And what a comfort we have found in dear friends. What a comfort we have found in our mothers and our fathers, if you had a good one. And my mama calls me, and when she finds out news, mama found out about Facebook, and that's quite an experience. An 86-year-old woman on Facebook will certainly keep you laughing. And she has sent wrong messages to wrong people. Sometimes she has commented on people's status, and it was the wrong comment, and it was hilarious. What was the one I think about, Cassie, something about getting married, and she was making a comment on what Jonathan said, and she says, "Well, don't do something stupid like that." And so we just absolutely hilarious at some of the mix-ups that have happened. And but she finds out about things through that she didn't find out from me. And the other day I got another little lecture because when I got sick a week or two ago, I didn't let her know. And you know what? It is a rite of motherhood to know when your youngin is sick. And she says, "You know what? I can pray, young man. I can pray." And so thank God for those who are willing to help us by simply sharing the burdens, even if they can't do anything about it. At least they care and take an interest and bear burdens with us. And so it is the nature of this life to value friendship. One of the saddest words we read in the Bible is something that the psalmist said in 142:4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me. No man cared for my soul. That's a sad state, isn't it? To feel that there was absolutely nobody that cared for their soul. I'm sure you and I could meet people along life's journey if we haven't already. And they, in their own minds, they feel like that truly there is nobody that cares for them. Maybe, listen, they were born in a rough family setting. Perhaps maybe didn't even know their family. Maybe abandoned early life. Maybe they had died and left them. But there have been some people raised up and probably would join the psalmist in saying, no man cared for my soul. We value friendship, and we all desire to be loved. That is a natural desire that God gives us. When God finished the great creation and pronounced good concerning it all, there was one comment God made of something that wasn't good. He said it wasn't good that man be alone. And so God created us for companionship. God created us for friendship. And we understand the significance of it throughout the Scriptures, in the New Testament especially, of the value of the family of God, of brothers and sisters, of the brethren. And we are commanded throughout the Scriptures to love the brethren. Why? Because we need it. We need it. In this Christian life, we know that because of our stand with Christ, our love of Him, our faith in Him, our standing upon the gospel and the truth of the Word of God, that also encourages a rejection in this world and a loneliness. And so God gave us brothers and sisters in Christ. He gave us the family of God. The Apostle Paul always, seemingly, when he closed nearly every letter, he mentioned those that have been instrumental in encouraging and helping him in his ministry and in his service for Christ. And so we value friendship. The word friend means a close associate. If you go back to the root, it means to help tend the flock. It means that we also are fellow sheep and we look after one another. If we were to give somewhat of a definition, one who seeks the company of another to promote a mutual interest, a welfare, and a happiness. The true friend. We see some pictures in the Bible of friendship. One of the greatest, of course, was Jonathan and David. And how that David and Jonathan had such a bond together, and Jonathan loved David so much so that even though Jonathan had a right to the throne, listen, he laid down the robe and gave the crown and placed it at David's feet, recognizing that God had anointed him to be king. And he laid all that aside, listen, for David to adorn. And Jonathan, listen, willing to give his life for his friend David. What a friendship. We see the greatest friendship of all is illustrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And there has never been a greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be a friend to all who will come unto Him. For there is no one that has invested in the life of another like the Lord Jesus. No person has made such a sacrifice to promote our well-being than the Lord Jesus has done. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a friend that all can have. And there is someone who cares for your soul. And there is a refuge that we can run to in the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Proverbs, I want you to notice a couple of simple things for the message. Number one, the conditions of true friendship. The conditions of true friendship. Verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. that the Bible gives us a condition upon which we are to build a friendship. That is, that we must show forth an interest, an investment in the lives of others. All through the Bible, we find a principle God gives. It's the opposite of the way the world thinks, as really is all the Scripture. And it is a principle of sowing and reaping. It is a principle of giving and receiving. In the Scriptures, we understand that to give is to receive. Jesus taught us that as we would lose our life, we would find it. And that principle applies here to the matter of friendship, that if you want some friends for yourself, then you must show yourself friendly. If you would like to have, then you must give. If you want friends, then you have to be a friend. The greatest way to have a friend is to be one. And so the law of giving and receiving in the Scriptures. And we find here that that is a condition of true friendship. The I, me, my, and mine are singular pronouns. Not only by definition, but also by experience. If you're all about the I, me, and my, and mine, then you'll have a scarcity for friends in your life. Many people do not have many friends. You know why? Because they are self-centered. And the more self-centered you are, the less you'll know of true friendship. Self-centeredness is tolerated but not enjoyed by anyone. And there are many people that will tolerate you, and because of the goodness of their heart, will offer you some type of a friendship, but that companionship is not enjoyed among self-centeredness. We find here that fellowship with self-centeredness is endured, but it's not sought after. Matter of fact, you can put people in a crowd, and you'll find that the self-centered people will soon be standing alone, and those who have great love and investment in the lives of others will be surrounded by people. Now, there is something that draws a person when they know that they are cared for, when they are loved, when people have invested in their lives. That is how we cultivate friendship. If you want more friends, devote yourself to being a friend, and ye shall have them. The greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because, what? He first loved us. What an example Jesus Christ gave for us as He came to offer that friendship to us. He came to give. He came to love. He came to sacrifice even while sinners, even while enemy. He gave Himself for our welfare. He devoted Himself for our interest. Everything that Christ did was for you and for me. And listen, God has blessed him, listen, with a multitude of friends. And the Bible said in Isaiah 53 that he was cut off out of the land of the living. And what would make up his heritage, what would be the posterity of the Lord, being that he was cut off. And listen, God the Father is going to give him a whole host of those who have come to adore him and love him and desire to praise him for eternity. And he shall one day receive unto himself all of those for which he has sacrificed and given his precious blood and died for their sins. And listen, became poor that we might be made rich. Listen, he took our judgment. He took our punishment all upon himself. And God the Father will reward him with a house full of friends. Well, listen, that's the condition of true friendship. Oh, it is one who will invest himself in the lives of others, who becomes one that gives. The people that have made the greatest positive influence in your life, that have been instrumental in your life, have been the givers, not the takers. It's been the givers. When I look back and think about people in life, it was people who took a few moments and invested some time and showed some interest in us, listen, they become cherished memories in my life and cherished people. Even in the secular realm, when I was in school, I remember a handful of teachers. You know what? There are teachers that I don't remember. Now, that's pretty sad, but when we went to middle school, we called it junior high in those days, when I went to seventh grade, we went from class to class instead of having one teacher. And you know what? There's only a handful I can remember of those. You know who I remember? The ones who took an interest and act like they cared about me. I have not forgotten them. I have remembered a couple of the meanest. Okay? They were so extraordinarily mean that I did remember a few of those. But the ones that I treasure, the ones that made an influence, the ones that I still remember, listen, the ones who showed an interest and a care in my life. And there are a few in particular, listen, that I'll never forget because I knew it was very sincere. And they saw that opportunity to invest their lives in the lives of others. Listen, that's the way it is with true friendship. That's the condition of it. We have to give in order to receive. There is a sowing and reaping. When you invest yourself in the lives of others, when you give of yourself, when you come with that attitude, listen, of showing a care and a compassion and trying to promote, listen, the welfare of others, to undergird, to take up and share their burdens, to pray for them, to encourage them, try to help them, be a part of their lives, then God will bless you with friends when you give of yourself. And listen, and remember that self-centeredness, listen, is what isolates us from having real friendships. Then secondly, notice with me, not only the conditions of true friendship, but the character of it. Look in Proverbs 17:17. The Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We notice here the characteristic or the character of true friendship is that it abides, that it is constant, that it has a commitment to it, especially in times of adversity as well as prosperity. Now, that matter of fact, times of adversity, times of difficulty, listen, become the great test of a true friendship. As often we used to quote, listen, they were a fair weather friend. That is, that they were around as long as there was something that they sought for an advantage. They did not come to give, they come to take. And the relationship was only built upon what they could get out of it, what they could receive. And so they became fair weather friends. The character of true friendship is under all condition. The fickle friendship of self-interest will soon forsake a friend when the advantage fades. Perhaps you have experienced that in your life. Sometimes you and I have been deeply hurt by those experiences, what we thought was a true friend. Listen, but it seemed like the changing of the wind. All of a sudden, their interest and their commitment, their desire, their affections were all gone because no longer was it an advantage for them. You and I understand that if we were suddenly tomorrow to come into great sums of money, we would have a whole host of new friends. But they weren't around yesterday. But suddenly they come out of the woodwork. And but you and I know that is not the character of true friendship. I talking with my brother one day, and Phil was really, really deeply hurt by a friendship that he'd established about 15, 20 years ago, I suppose. And there was another evangelist, I won't mention his name, he's still out there today. But this evangelist befriended Phil and got to know him quite well, and just out of the blue. He started calling Phil, meeting with him, going out to eat, various things. And back in those days, Philip was producing a lot of promotional things for churches and a lot of Sunday school things, and he ran a company called Sunday School Revival. Circuit Rider Ministries, and he was giving promotional things. I gave out his prints probably 10 years ago, something like that. He's through Mother's Day and Father's Day prints, other things that he had done. Had all kind of, and he had a calendar. Do you remember the name of the calendar? I forgot the name, a very catchy title. But anyway, it was really nicely done. It had a soul winning thing in it. It also had verses of comfort and, you know, various topics. And it was well done, and it was had really taken off, and he was shipping them all over the country. And so this particular evangelist called him one day and had a meal with him and said, "Phil, I'd like you to move to my part of the country." And he said, "I'd like you to be part of my team." And he said, "I'll help you with a whole lot more of meetings, and you'll have a whole lot more revivals. It'll help you financially." And he said, "I'd like you to bring your Sunday school revival materials, and I'd like you to bring all that stuff, and kind of join us together." And so Phil got to thinking about it and praying about it, and hadn't really made the move. And then he said, "Phil, I'd like to go ahead and get this thing rolling." He said, "I'd like to have your calendar, okay? And I'd like to produce that calendar, and I'd like to get that thing going." And so he said, "Tell you what I'll do." He said, I'll give you some upfront money for the copyright of that calendar, and then we'll start making plans." And so Philip finally agreed to do that. I guess you probably know the story, but now you know what he did after he got the calendar? He didn't know who Phil Tondy was. No more anything about moving there, being a part of the team. "I'll help you get meetings." And when he called, suddenly there was no answer. Message, "I'll get back to you." And that was the end of the whole story. Philip was deeply hurt by that. And you and I understand that you've probably been through experience like that yourself. That's not the character of friendship. The man wooed him into that just so he could get that away from him and take it. And needless to say, as long as I'm the pastor, that evangelist won't be here for any revivals, okay? Please pardon me and pray for me about that, but I don't plan on having him here for a revival. But you and I, we experience things like that. I remember, do you remember when you were a high schooler and you developed a relationship with somebody and got to be friends, but when somebody cool came by, somebody popular came by, look around like, "What are you doing around here? Who are you?" You know, didn't know who you were. Or when you had a real close friend, and then, the other girl came by, and she was real popular, and they looked at you like, you know, you were the third wheel. You've been through those things. Listen, the Bible teaches us here what is the proper friendship. What is the character of friendship? It is someone who is constant, who is faithful, who will endure, who will go through adversity. Listen, the loving and the caring, will last through adversity and problems. And so true friendship reveals character. I want you to see both sides of that. Not only the character of true friendship, but also true friendship is also of character. It takes godly character to be a true friend. It reveals, listen, that you are not just simply a self person who looks for an advantage, who's looking to gain something from the relationship and willing to cast it aside when adversity comes. You and I understand that self-centeredness hinders the fellowship that we have with others. And the greatest friends in the world ought to be those who have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because He resides in us. And the one place you ought to find true friendship is in the house of God, because Christ not only dwells in our midst, but He dwells in our hearts. And listen, He is the one that produces that character of true friendship, so that we have a desire to love and to give and to care and to pray and to serve and to minister. Listen, unfaithfulness to church is not only dishonoring to the Lord, but it's an indication of self-centeredness. Some would say, well, you know what? I don't need others. Well, number one, you do, but number two, others need you. The Bible says we're to love one another. Some people aren't around here enough to know who we are. The Bible says that we are to pray for one another and bear one another's burdens. But if you don't have fellowship, companionship, and dwell together, you don't know who to pray for, what to pray about, and how to help anybody. God gave you the church not only for you to be loved, to be prayed for, but God gave it to you for you to love and pray for somebody else and to care. God is using the church and the lives of others because we need to have the opportunity to love and serve. And listen, some might take the attitude, well, you know what, I'm pretty self-contained. I don't need a whole lot. I do fine by myself. Listen, what a selfish attitude. God put you here in order to be used to care for the lives of others. And so there is a dual relationship. Let me give you the third thing tonight, and that's the counsel of true friendship. Notice with me Proverbs 27. In Proverbs 27, look, if you will, two verses, verse number 6. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then it says also in verse number 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The counsel of true friendship, it is motivated by love, a genuine love, a sincere love, the love of God. Listen, a self-love always censures the truth. We like and we enjoy being loved, and we want to be liked, don't we? And if that becomes the primary principle, then we are self-centered. And what that does is, I don't want anybody to ever be upset or think poorly of me or do anything that's going to hurt, listen, what they think of me. You know what that is? That is not love. That is self-love. That's self-love. Because true love desires, listen, the blessing, the welfare, the help of others. Love and truth are really inseparable. Would it be true love for me to lead someone down a pathway of lies, to deceive them, to imply, to teach them, to guide them, listen to things that are not true? That certainly wouldn't be love for them. That's a love for myself. True love is willing to make sacrifices. True love, listen, desires the safety, prosperity, and well-being of our friends. Love is full of mercy and speaks the truth in love and seasoned with grace. Our purpose is never to injure or to tear down, but simply to build up. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? True friendship. What's the counsel of true friendship? Listen, it'll tell you the truth, seasoned with grace, heart full of love, because we know that by deceiving and by lying, if self-centeredness is not a true love. Not a true love. Aren't you glad God loves us? And because He loves us, you know what He tells us? The absolute truth. God, Brother Charles, sending His Word, has offended a whole world of people. You know why? Because He told them the truth. They were hell-deserving sinners. But then He told them that He loved them and that Jesus died for their salvation, for their forgiveness, and for eternal life. You know what God does? God tells us the absolute truth. You know why? Because He absolutely loves you. He loves you. True friendship, listen, is that which is born out of love. And we find here the benefit, the blessing here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful, why? Because the last thing in the world we want to do is wound a friend. And so it's only when it's absolutely necessary and we're very careful. When we go to get the beam out of our eye and we go to get the mote out of someone else's, you're working on someone's eyeball, the most sensitive part in the human body. And so therefore we understand the nature of it. and soul, listen, with a spiritual mind, with a heart that's prayed and sought, we carefully desire. Why? Because our goal is not to hurt. Our goal is not to tear down. Our goal is not to injure. It's always to help. It's always to bless. It's always to encourage. And so be careful when we put things in the context. Well, I just wanted to help them. Or I just wanted you to pray for them. There's a lot of deceit under phrases. Well, listen, the counsel of true friendship always desires to encourage, to bless, to build up, to strengthen. The Bible says, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. You know why? Because he received what God has said, and he trusted Him, and he obeyed Him. And the Bible says that he was called the friend of God. That friendship was realized in his trust and obedience to God's Word. Jesus said this to His disciples in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. When Abraham, listen, was brought unto God, God counseled him about the things that he was going to do. You remember that? As the friend of God, he brought Abraham in, and there he conveyed to Abraham what he's about to do. You remember Abraham prayed? Lord, if there 50 righteous in the city, would you spare it? And in their conversation, he finally got down to 10. You know, I believed in that conversation, Abraham learned that God was right in what he was doing. Abraham had envisioned a lot of innocent people getting killed. After his conversation with God, he realized God knows exactly what he's doing, and God is righteous in everything that he does. And so he didn't ask beyond 10. God took him under his wing, counseled him, told him. And God said, I wouldn't hide it from a friend. Aren't you glad the things God has revealed to you? The things that God has showed you and take you into His own counsel and reveal the great truths of all that God has purposed to do. Because you and I, as we put our faith and trust in Him, we have received the counsel of our greatest friend. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ loves me beyond measure. I'm also glad that He tells me the absolute truth. And listen, I'm glad, listen, of what the truth has wrought in our lives. Thank God for the truth. Thank God we've been set free. We've been liberated. The truth has set us free from all that's evil and all that's destructive. And thank God Jesus came and became the friend that's closer than a brother. Let me give you the last one, the compatibility of true friendship. In Proverbs 22... look, if you will, at verse 24. In 22:24, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debt. And so the Bible here speaks of about compatibility and friendship. Look in chapter 28, verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He that is companion of riotous men shameth his father. And so the Bible here talks about the fact that you and I understand the principle that Amos said in chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And then we're warned in the book of James, chapter number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so we understand that there are some prohibitions, there are some commands in the Scripture about our companionship and friendship. But you say, but preacher, Jesus was a friend to sinners. Yes, but He was not their companion in their sinful deeds. Jesus was a friend to them, but He did not walk with them. Jesus met them every day. And Jesus reached out to them every day. But He didn't walk with them. What did Jesus tell them? Follow me. You walk with me. You walk with me. Jesus was a friend to the sinner. But His invitation was, hey, you go where I'm going. You walk with me. He did not walk with them in their course and conduct of life. He invited them to come and go and follow me. And so we find here that Jesus is the way. We meet sinners every day, but we ask them, listen, if they will, come to the Lord Jesus and come to worship Him and come to know Him and come to serve Him and come and go with us to glory and come and go with us to heaven. We do not walk with them. We do not, join ourselves in the companionship of the walk of darkness and the walk of the world. But we are a friend to them and invite them to come and walk with us as we walk in fellowship with the Lord and walk in Jesus the way. Thank God tonight for true friendship. Thank God tonight, for that friendship that's made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for He working in us for the life of the Lord Jesus. And as I mentioned in the introduction, the greatest friendship in the world ought to be found among God's children. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has shed abroad in our heart the very love of God. And this love surpasses that which is natural. And if they would find anyone who would sacrifice and invest in the lives of others, it certainly ought to be those in whom Christ does dwell. And so, people ought to know, that they can have a friend in those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, we must show ourselves friendly and show that we have a desire to bless, to encourage, that we're willing to invest in the lives of others. I know people right now that are not saved and will not walk in the way of the Lord. But I'll guarantee one thing they do know. They know people right now who will pray for them. They know people right now that if they had a need, they could call on. And you know what? That's the testimony we ought to have as God's children. That though they haven't joined us, and we certainly will not join them in their companionship in the walk of darkness. However, they know they can find prayer, and they can find compassion, and they can find caring, and they can find investment and interest in the lives of others. You see, that's the character of the Lord Jesus. He lives in you and me. Jesus Christ is the great friend who is closer than a brother. And Jesus Christ was ready to hear the cries and the appeals of anyone who called unto Him, ready to minister unto their lives. And the world needs a friend today. Needs a friend. You and I, we're not going to violate scriptures in the friendship of the world system. We're not enablers for people to continue to walk in darkness and the destructive lifestyle in which they need. And I tell you, they ought to know we care about them. They ought to know that we love them. They ought to know that we're willing to do all we can to help them. But that's the nature of the friendship of the Lord Jesus. That's what will be manifest in our lives. A man that would have friends must show himself friendly. I have friends today, friends that are not saved. But I hope they consider me their friend. And I consider them a friend. And though we can't walk together because we're not agreeing, I do care about them. And will make sacrifices for them. But my prayer is, will you come and join me as we walk with Jesus? And as we walk into the glory that He has prepared for us. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. I believe that's a mandate upon every Christian. every Christian, I don't care what your personality is, if you have Christ in you, you ought to be a person that seeks to befriend the lives of others. That's part of our calling in leading men to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.